happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, back from wherever I was and happy to be rejoining and grateful to Chris Cooper for sitting in last week.
Good to have you back because with elections underway and they're going to end on November the 8th, that Tuesday, we've got two chances to elect the first out lesbian governor in the United States, a tight race in Oregon, but a sure thing in Massachusetts.
I get a little nervous when you say a sure thing about anything these days, but I guess that's as sure as it gets. We'll go into details in a minute. And that very strange man, Elon Musk, has, of course, taken over Twitter, unleashing bigotry and personally amplifying this crazy anti-gay story about Paul Pelosi.
Idaho is now looking at banning drag performances entirely.
It just makes you wonder what's going to be allowed.
Well, I would just say, and we get through the headlines, but, you know, first they came for the drag queens, then they came for Paul Pelosi. I mean, the violence is escalating and people aren't doing enough about it.
And our window of freedom narrows from the party that claims to, elevate freedom. Florida is advancing a ban on gender-affirming care for trans youth.
Yeah, so much for the freedom state.
Yeah.
I told you about Yeshiva University not wanting to recognize the LGBTQ group there. Well, they set up an Orthodox group for LGBTQ students, while discrimination against self-affirming LGBTQ students continues.
Same-sex marriage, da-da-da-da-da, is now recognized in all 31 Mexican states. It's been a long haul.
And good news from Brazil, where they made Lula president again. Of course, Bolsonaro, as we're taping, hasn't conceded. But it should end that anti-LGBTQ rule of his, unless there's a coup.
The Miss Universe pageant, once owned by Trump, has been bought by a transgender tycoon in Thailand, thereby, of course, prompting everyone to flee the pageant.
Russia is now using mercenaries with HIV and hepatitis as cannon fodder.
Yikes. We will tell you about the Brandi Carlile magnificent concert at Madison Square Garden that I was lucky enough to attend.
And for at least a moment, the number one hit on Billboard Hot 100 was once again from out LGBTQ artists.
Until that bulldozer Taylor Swift came along. All right, well, let's dispose of this Paul Pelosi, Elon Musk thing at the top, because I can't spend too much time on this, but I think it's at the top of people's minds. So Paul Pelosi attacked by this guy who comes in screaming, "Where's Nancy?" And they get in a fight and the guy hits him over the head with a hammer. So the right wing, bereft of any way to explain this rationally, puts out a tweet saying, "Well, you know, this wasn't an unknown attacker. This was Paul Pelosi drunk again because he got a DUI recently. Having a fight with his prostitute boyfriend." And then Elon Musk retweets that.
$44 billion for Twitter, and he is driving everybody away from it, including most of the employees.
Well, this is insanity. It's not true for any of you who were wondering about that.
This guy who was confessed to this crime, he's a QAnon follower. He posted hateful comments about LGBTQ people, women, people of color, Muslims, Jewish people, and immigrants. And he also defended Kanye or Yee. He's especially fond of transphobic images and said any journalist, he went after us as well, who denied the 2020 election was stolen should be dragged into the street and shot. Now, look. And again, the fact that he's not universally condemned by everybody and that, I have to say, what's his name? Hannity did go after him. you know, which was helpful, but to maybe slow down the right wing.
Kevin McCarthy, however, has not been heard from that I know of. But Marjorie Taylor Greene posted a photoshopped meme that played off the gay story. And
and that's why one of the reasons we're all so tense, because we've gone off the rails in terms of political discourse in this country and around the world.
Well, I'm hoping that the timing on this goes back and forth politically, and one side's up and then the other. And it's like, you know, going to the finish line and who's going to be up in the end. And I'm just hoping these maniacs are overplaying their hand at this point out of desperation and are going to be in for a, you know, rude awakening.
Well, I worry about the New York. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about some of the positive things that could happen on Election Day, starting with the fact that Maura Healey, the attorney general there, two terms, is poised to win the governorship over Republican Jeff Deal, who is campaigning on
In Massachusetts.
He is campaigning on ridding the schools of LGBTQ issues. Healey is an out lesbian. She sued the Trump administration 100 times. She's at 61% in the latest poll, with 33% for the Republican.
Well, she's done a fantastic job as Attorney General of Massachusetts, and I think people see that. She's been around for a long time, and they trust her. She's not an unknown quantity. And so she is popular and does have a substantial lead in the race.
But it's neck and neck in Oregon, where Tina Kotek campaigned with Bernie Sanders this week in the home stretch. Polls there are very tight, with a 1 or 2 point spread versus Republican Christine Drazen. There's a third candidate in the race. The current Democratic governor, Kate Brown, bisexual, is unpopular. Anything can happen there. But so we're very concerned about that, and very concerned about New York. And we shouldn't have had to be. But New York is reminding me of, you know, how Phil Murphy almost lost in New Jersey last year by just running an anti-MAGA campaign against his opponent, and not enough positive. And, you know, Kathy Hochul, despite all her money, well, we can complain about it. But then, so it looked like Lee Zeldin was going to try to moderate a little bit and, you know, not be so harsh and everything. But who does he bring in at the last minute? Ron DeSantis for a rally out on Long Island. This is a, you know, complete horror, but it revved up the crowd out there.
He got a huge crowd.
And our vote out on Long Island in the early vote is not as high as it was a couple of years ago. But again, it's a very unpredictable year. DeSantis at this rally cited crime in New York and said Florida is a law and order state. You know, well, Florida has a murder rate of 7.8 per 100,000. New York's murder rate is 4.7 per 100,000, which puts us in the lower quadrant.
Well, it's a terrible little cauldron of fear, because the news media, locally at least, just revel in sensationalized crime stories. So every day, the front pages, the headlines on TV, all of it is about crime. And the crime rate is not particularly high, but they are scaring people. And then Zeldin comes in and takes advantage of that and portrays it as a crime-ridden state and runs his campaign on that. And it's all a self-perpetuating situation, a self-fulfilling prophecy, and gets us in a lot of trouble.
But as you would say, brace yourself. And, you know, it's very hard to overcome conditions when you go to the store and things are so expensive and all that kind of stuff, or the prices are going up. I mean, look, that's how a black guy got elected president in 08. The economy was tanking and people turned towards the other party. And a lot of people do that, and they ignore all these other issues that we are so concerned about.
Well, I think Zeldin is really running on the crime issue and putting all his money on that. And the news media are collaborating unwittingly, and therefore it's scary. But Hochul seems to retain a small lead. But we've also cast aspersions on the polls this year, too. So
I do want to let you know, if you're not scared off and you're thinking of running for office yourself, the Victory Institute, which is connected with the Victory Fund, is holding four-day trainings all through next year and into 2024 in Dallas, Salt Lake City, Orlando, and Detroit. Go to victoryinstitute.org for complete information. We need more candidates from where we're hardly representative in our government.
And speaking of major national organizations, the Human Rights Campaign held a big dinner in Washington this last weekend. Vice President Kamala Harris was there and gave a good, strong speech of support. Pelosi was supposed to be there, but because of the attack on her husband, she's in California helping him. And so she did not show up. But the real speech of the night was Cheryl Lee Ralph, the Emmy winner currently on Abbott Elementary, which is a cute show. So we're going to link to Cheryl Lee Ralph's speech in our show note this week, which you can subscribe to for a once a week note about what's happening on the show each week at gayusatv.org.
Well, you can also make a contribution to support us and keep us going. The Victory Fund, by the way, has endorsed 502 out LGBTQ candidates nationwide, the most ever. And for the first time, we have out candidates in all 50 states. It sounds like a lot. Again, we're still very unrepresented, but we're making progress. And to see, by the way, if you're interested in who's running, who's out in your area, go to victoryfund.org.
A couple of other little political notes from around the nation. I think my favorite of the week was in South Carolina, where the current governor, Henry McMaster, is running for re-election, a really old school Republican. By that, I mean old, not a Rockefeller Republican. But he's in a debate with the very sharp Democratic opponent who's doing very well. But McMaster says, "You know, I just don't think anything but men and women should marry each other.
I'm old-fashioned."
Yeah, call me old-fashioned. But I just, and you know, in sports, boys should play boys' sports and girls should play girls' sports. We agree with that. We just don't agree with your definition of what are boys and girls.
It's not as bad as the Supreme Court, you know, basically going to say that black people shouldn't go to college. I mean, with their affirmative action. I listened to the entire arguments that were made in the two cases. Clarence Thomas saying, "What does diversity mean? I don't understand this." That's how you got on the court, Clarence. You were replacing the great Thurgood Marshall, who was black. You wouldn't have gotten on otherwise.
And he graduated from Yale Law School and still doesn't understand what diversity means. It's sad. It was amusing. And Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania has deleted the pro-conversion therapy episode of his TV show from his website.
Absolutely. Now, in the Arizona governor's race, when the Katie Hobbs campaign attacked Carrie Lake's campaign for using rhetoric that they said led to a break in a Hobbs campaign office, Lake called it Jesse Smollett Part 2.
And laughed about Pelosi.
This is scum. But, you know, it's tight as a tick out there. So we'll see. By the way, that we told you about last week and we showed you it. The President Biden giving that interview with the trans activist Dylan Mulvaney last week. Part of the time that all these influencers from TikTok spent at the White House. Well, there were eight of them. They represent 67 million followers. These eight people. Get them to promote our show, they met with former President Obama. They went to the Supreme Court, the Capitol, and a lot of them are very young. And they said, "Well, we weren't too connected to the midterms. We thought that had something to do with exams in the middle of the year." Really, seriously. But they're getting, if we can juice up the youth vote, we can make a change.
But they always say that, and we can't get enough of them to vote ever. And I keep seeing interviews with young people who say, "No, I didn't know there was voting now. I didn't know there was a Supreme Court decision on abortion."
By the way, again, on Carrie Lake, she featured in one of her ads somebody pretending to be a businessman concerned about inflation. He was Pastor Justin Erickson, who was virulently anti-gay, says horrible things, calls Islam a satanic force, but, says horrible, horrible things about gays. Okay.
All right. So, what's going to happen when these people get elected? That's the question. What is going to happen?
Well, obviously I don't want it to happen. Then they're going to be responsible for everything bad that's happening. And maybe that'll help in 2024. I don't know. The country's totally divided. Things swing back and forth. By the way, there are these ballot initiatives that can skew things, too. Kentucky's going to vote on a constitutional amendment to say residents do not have a right to abortion. They already have a law against it. Arkansas is voting on legalizing marijuana, and most Republicans are campaigning against it. And Michigan has a proposal that would guarantee reproductive rights. So, these kinds of things can bring people out for different reasons.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett's decision to overturn Roe has won her a $2 million book deal at Penguin Random House, and 530 publishing staffers have signed on to an open letter saying, that's this deal. She's a horror,
Good for them. I'm not surprised she got the book deal, but I'm thrilled that the employees are upset.
Okay.
By the way, they're still trying to talk to Russia about Brittany Griner. She got a 9-year prison camp sentence. Her wife was on The View this week, continuing to spread the word. She's coming out quite publicly and doing a real tour of media to try to get people to write letters. I'm not sure who they're writing letters to, whether it's our government or Putin's government, but there is a campaign to continuing to try to get her released, but it's very depressing.
Okay. And to switch to Idaho, it's also horrible. The next legislative session will include a bill to ban public drag performances throughout the state. Going back to the days when any kind of cross-dressing was basically a crime in the 1960s in New York, you were limited. You had to have at least two article. If you had, wait a minute, people were limited to two or less articles of clothing of the, quote, opposite sex. And that's how they used to justify raiding gay bars and closing them in many cases, including the Stonewall.
It just is astonishing to me the way the right wing just wants to go after point after point after point, person after person. They're just cutting away the legitimacy of every part of the population that isn't about six people left on their side. The fact that people are supporting this, that they are going to get away with this is... it's presumably part of the pendulum swing, but if they continue to be violent and lie and cheat and steal, we may be in for a long time of this.
And then Florida, Governor DeSantis's Board of Medicine ignored all the medical experts, cut back on testimony from our side, and advanced a rule to restrict gender-affirming care for youth. It would likely ban puberty blockers, hormone replacement therapy, and the extremely rare surgical interventions. So much for Florida being the freedom state. The rule goes now to the full board for a vote.
Well, in Orlando, Florida, the LGBTQ center there had to cancel their Halloween drag queen story hour because there were so many threats from neo-Nazis to visit violence on this event.
It's just become a thing, and I'll repeat it. First, they came for the drag queens. Whatever you feel about drag queens, my God, inspiring violence. These people come with guns. More people need to stand up on all sides of the spectrum and stop this before somebody gets killed. And at the University of Florida, in the wake of the protest of the nomination of anti-LGBTQ U.S. Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska as their new president, they're now going to invoke an old prohibition against indoor protests. So much again for the freedom state. Free to oppress LGBTQ people is more like it.
And the Department of Education in Florida is forming groups to educate, in quotes, school librarians on what books it is acceptable for them to have in the library under the Don't Say Gay law. informing these panels or groups that will judge the books and educate the librarians, they have rejected professionals who might have experience in the field and some sophisticated understanding of books. Instead, they are putting on these panels Moms for Liberty representatives who are just going to trash everything and turn them into the libraries into Christian centers of their accepted books.
Well, look at how many people in the poll said they want the United States to be a Christian nation.
Exactly. Right. And speaking of religion and education, Yeshiva University in New York, the story continues about their attempts to not have to deal with the LGBTQ student group that they were ordered to officially recognize, found a way not to, are still litigating that, and now have come up with an approved Orthodox LGBTQ student group, although this was formed not by students, but by the administration. The actual student group is furious about this and says, rightly, you know, you're trying to bury us again.
They are calling it a feeble attempt by the university to continue denying LGBTQ students equal treatment, a stunt to distract from donors, alumni, students, faculty, policymakers, and the business community who have stood with Yeshiva University Pride Alliance, which is the group that is seeking recognition.
It's so transparent. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, you know, when I was in Dignity, the gay Catholic group, what did the Catholic Church form? What do they call it? Courage, which was a group for gay people who wanted to change. Somebody used to say there was a revolving door between Courage and Dignity. I never went to Courage. I did write to them once to get their literature. If you find that in my files, I wasn't trying to join.
All right. Well, on the subject of religion, let's go to Falls Church, Virginia, and the Reverend Gene Robinson.
Okay. Gene Robinson is now 75 years old. He was the first out Episcopal bishop in 2006, a consecration that opened up a split in the whole Anglican communion and in the U.S. Episcopal Church. So this past weekend, he made a visit of reconciliation to the Falls Church in Falls Church, Virginia. It's called the Falls Church, one of the oldest Episcopal congregations, 300 years old, which turned its back on him in 2006 and splintered. But when it was all sorted out, they're now an LGBTQ affirming congregation, and that was restored. And it's now headed by the first out LGBTQ married rector, the Reverend Burl Salmon, I'm not sure how it's said. He talked at this thing of growing up the child of sharecroppers in the South, trying to be heterosexual, marrying a woman, having kids, freeing his wife and his own self and bonded with a man. But the death threats that he got over this in 2003 lasted until he left office in New Hampshire in 2013. He always had to have a police presence around his house.
But this story of reconciliation down the road 15 years later is very heartening and is the story we hear most often, not entirely, but most often, that these rifts appear, people get tremendously upset, but down the road it heals and people come to a better understanding.
I'm waiting for my invitation to the Vatican. But Admiral and Doctor...
They have a longer memory.
Admiral and Doctor... Rachel Levine, the transgender U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, has been elected to the prestigious National Academy of Medicine, part of a conglomerate of independent nonprofits that make up National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine to provide objective advice. What a concept! She was selected for her expertise in pediatrics and adolescent medicine, dedication to health equity, and leadership in emergency response to addiction and overdose. In addition to being the first Senate-confirmed official who's trans, she became in 2021 the first four-star officer across all uniform services branches who is transgender.
See, they're coming to healing there. Not everyone, but they're getting there. And in West Virginia, another piece of good news, the state has settled a lawsuit brought by the ACLU. They will allow trans people to access new birth certificates with their new name and gender identity.
Good.
Yeah. West Virginia.
Good news. We need some good news.
Yeah.
And by the way, when we do the show next week, we are going to do it. We're going to tape it on Wednesday, the day after the election. So we'll have a chance to at least report on many of the results. That'll be live on Facebook at 2:30 and on YouTube at 2:30.
Yeah, more and more, of course, these elections go into overtime with the way votes are cast and counted. But we'll at least have whatever results are available. And we'll be joined by Maren Johns, our sometimes co-host, so the three of us will discuss election results on Wednesday, and then it will air at its normal times around the country.
Thursday on MNN and all those kinds of things. Yes. So
international news.
Yeah. Should we start in Russia?
Sure. Well, I'm fascinated, of course, that Putin gave another one of his 4-hour speeches at some annual conference. And who does he blame for all the ills in the world? Us. It's all about gay pride parades, trans people, dozens of genders. He just went on and on about.
Well, the lawmakers in the Duma unanimously toughened their discriminatory law against us when they called same-sex propaganda law. That's been around. It's a ban that's been around for a while that they use against us. Now you'll be penalized if you promote or praise homosexual relationships or publicly suggest that they are, quote unquote, normal. And if you violate it, you get a $6,500 fine. And if you're a legal entity, an $81,000 fine. And foreigners who do this, no travel to Russia, 15 days in jail or deportation.
And that's not even the grounds on which Brittany Griner is in jail. But yeah, so that was a hate fest there at that conference. And meanwhile, as the war in Ukraine continues, mercenaries are being drafted around Russia since the draftable population is fleeing the country immediately. So private companies are being hired by Russia to drum up more recruits for the army. So one of these private companies is going out and finding people who are HIV positive or who have hepatitis C and dragooning them into their private army.
But you have to wear a wristband if you have it.
Yeah.
And it's not making the other soldiers happy.
No. They're being abused by the regular Russian soldiers, the public Russian soldiers, and the Russian army is refusing them any treatment for their HIV or their hepatitis C.
Many of them are being recruited from prison, and serving in the armed forces can get them amnesty after, I think it's 6 months in uniform, even if they are murderers,
That's assuming they survive the Ukraine war and their conditions untreated in the Russian army. That's quite a little game of Russian roulette.
But
there are protests going on about this, about the war and about the anti-LGBT stuff. A bunch of mountain climbers went up a mountain in Kyrgyzstan, Mount Putin. There they are, flying LGBTQ pride flags. And you can sort of see in the middle there, there's a couple of flags draped over the side of the mountain. And one of them is the Ukraine flag with the pride flag.
Now, this group is called Pink Summits, and they've been doing this all over the world, going up to high summits, mainly just to raise LGBTQ visibility. But in this case, it's a protest against Putin's homophobic and transphobic imperial neo-colonial regime. The peak was named for the dictator in 2011 in the Tian Shan Mountains. This guy named Dastan Kazmakitan, who grew up in Kyrgyzstan.
It's painful to hear you even try.
and he founded Pink Summits, said they were interrogated as they crossed the border from Georgia to Russia on their way to do this, the border guards making homophobic and sexist remarks. The climb actually took place back in August, but they are circulating these photos this week in response to all the news that Ann and I just gave you.
Let's climb a few mountains ourselves, Andy, and fly some flags. Could we fly flags from the summit of London Terrace? I don't think so. I think we'd get kicked out of the building.
I used to be allowed on your roof from my. That's a long story. You people once in a while hang things outside of the windows here. Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think in my section of the building you're allowed to do that, but okay. We could try it. We should hang victory flags about Brazil.
Absolutely.
So Bolsonaro is out and Lula is back.
Lula was in prison a couple of years ago on trumped up charges, and he was cleared of them. Although, you know, the press, the mainstream press, well, he was, of course, in prison for corruption. Yes, but he was cleared of it. It was a totally trumped up thing. Anyway, he was the progressive candidate. He eked out a victory. As of this taping, Bolsonaro has not conceded. He's a fascist. And, he ran on fear, including of trans people. But Lula's win is a victory for democracy, the environment, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, sanity, justice. And I hope it bodes well for the U.S. elections.
Well, I'd like to see it as a harbinger. But here's the deal. He got 50.9% of the vote and Bolsonaro got 49.1% of the vote. That is a razor thin margin. Bolsonaro, as we tape on Tuesday afternoon, not only has he not conceded, he hasn't said a word. And he and his advisors are talking about what to do, plotting and planning. Meanwhile, his supporters are out in the streets to some extent, objecting to this and claiming it was a rigged election. Truck drivers are blocking major highways, and small groups of reporters are blocking streets. Now, the reaction so far is not as large as people feared, but I am sitting here really concerned about what's going to happen in a few days.
Well, we know what happened in the United States. They tried to burn down the Capitol.
Exactly. So the election was really close. The election watchers have already certified that it was not rigged. But anything could happen. And Bolsonaro is just shameless and a murderer who has had death squads during his entire regime killing opponents. So I'm still nervous about this, but it is a fantastic victory for the moment for Lula.
And I'm just seeing a headline here on CNN. The Supreme Court rejected a bid by Senator Graham to block the subpoena in the Georgia election case.
Well, very nice. Because Chief Justice Roberts upheld.
He temporarily put on hold the release of Trump's taxes. That seems almost pro forma until they decide it.
Yes.
And they should decide it fast.
Yeah. And could come up with the same result as just happened evidently in the Lindsey Graham.
But with Trump's taxes, I mean, once the Republicans take over the House, and barring a miracle, that seems almost inevitable, but not if we all vote, then that becomes moot.
Yeah, I haven't given up on the elections. I have not given up, but it's scary.
It is scary. In Qatar, we showed you Peter Tatchell last week. He staged the first ever LGBTQ protest in a Gulf state in Doha. Because the World Cup is coming there. He was interrogated and he was released and he was told to leave the country. This is a place where gay sex is punishable by up to 3 years in prison.
Well, holding hands is illegal.
The new United Kingdom foreign minister under this Rishi guy, James Cleverly, said he'd spoken to the Qatari authorities about gay fans attending the cup, and he just urged gay fans to show respect for Islamic cultural norms. No public displays. So even Rishi's office on Downing Street said people should not have to compromise who they are to attend. And the opposition parties, of course, in England and Britain, rather, condemned the foreign secretary's remarks. Prince William is not going.
Nice. And Peter Tatchell, when last heard from, was safely in Australia. He was not arrested in Qatar.
He was detained. He was detained.
They talked to him on the street sharply and told him to get out of town. And he did.
You best leave.
And Rishi in the UK, by the way, is virulently anti-trans. And
now he is. He didn't used to be, but now he is in order to get power.
Well, he's going to support an effort to ban trans kids in sports, which is heinous.
Disgusting. Really disgusting. For someone who was fine with the issue 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of trans, in Thailand, a trans woman who is a big local celebrity and very successful businesswoman there, Jakapong Jakajutatip, something like that, has bought the Miss Universe pageant.
She's called Anne, by the way.
Yes, I could have just left it at that. She has been a star of the Thai version of Project Runway and Shark Tank, and she is a local activist. The right wing now around the world is demanding boycotts of the pageant. But, you know, when Trump owned the Miss Universe pageant, he supported a trans contestant. It's so weird.
He did. So, now, she bought this thing for $20 million. Now, we'd welcome you to buy Gay USA, but we don't welcome corporate, you know, stuff.
We're available for less than $20 million.
She really has her work cut out for herself in Thailand. There is no procedure for trans people there to even legalize gender changes, name changes, all that kind of stuff.
But there is a long, long history of trans people in Thailand successfully living and working. In Ireland, they have just added gender identity and expression to their hate crimes law to acknowledge those.
Also added people with disabilities as well. Mm-hmm. Ireland keeps racking up those progressive reforms. It looks like a place to go when things get tough. Mexico, drum roll, please, now has same-sex marriage in all 31 states. Now, this started in March 2010, and it's just been completed. It accelerated in 2015 when the Supreme Court of Mexico declared that bans on marriage equality were unconstitutional. But that didn't make it legal all over the country. They had to do it state by state, and they did. The final state to do it this week was Tamauli, T-A-M-A-U-L-I, PUS.
Five states still have to do a formal update of their acceptance, so that little T still has to be crossed. They also legalized adoption by same-sex couples along with marriage. And, you know, this is how marriage started in the United States, legalizing it state by state. And we spent some years documenting every state and every circuit court decision. By the time we finished, we knew every circuit court in the United States.
Well, our viewers were saying, I don't want to hear another word about circuits. What are you talking about?
Well, we're beyond that now because, we went state by state until we reached some critical mass and the Supreme Court legalized it for the entire country. But so it's not unusual that Mexico should do this state by state.
Except for the fact that the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional to ban it. So that didn't end it.
Yes, correct. But they still had to go through a process, and it was excruciating. And I refused to do the state by state reports week after week. I just wouldn't do it. I was waiting for this moment.
But our good friend Rex Wachner, a veteran journalist, was feeding us because he lives in
San Diego
and has been goes to Mexico a lot and reported assiduously on this. And, he was on top of it the whole way. And by the way, still sends us a lot of the news that we use on this show, and we appreciate it.
Love Rex.
As we appreciate it when it comes from you, folks out there in the audience, because you send us stories. If you think you see a story that we might not have heard about, not too big a story, but you know about, send it to us.
You do not need to send us stories that have appeared in the New York Times. We are on top of that. but thank you. And in further marriage news, India has a new Supreme Court Chief Justice who may be sympathetic to legalizing same-sex marriage. There are a couple of cases pending, and this is thought to be a potential avenue for legalization countrywide in India. So that's sort of on the verge, and we will certainly follow that step by step.
Okay. All right. AIDS news?
No, we have a couple of things here we still have. First of all, in continuing marriage rule news, in Israel, an Orthodox rabbi has performed a marriage ceremony for a trans woman and a bisexual man. And what strikes me about this is that this makes clear that in Israel, the Orthodox community, or at least this rabbi, accepts the gender identity of this trans woman. Since Israel does not allow same-sex marriages, they clearly are defining her as female with the man she is marrying. So that's just a little interesting twist. And also in Prague, in the Czech Republic, there was an enormous outpouring, thousands of people in the streets to protest the killing of two gay men in Slovakia a couple of weeks ago. We've been following that case.
That was in Bratislava a few weeks ago. It was this demonstration was held the same day as funerals for Matus Horvath and Juraj Vankulik. Czech LGBTQ people and allies sent 17,000 signatures calling on their own government to pass civil rights protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity and to institute marriage equality.
And there's a sad story from Armenia of a young gay couple, two young men who were so hounded by death threats for being an out couple and rejected by their parents that they committed suicide.
Just
It is awful, and it is a daily reminder that life is very tough for gay
people. I check our Gay USA Facebook page, and 99% of the messages we get are from LGBTQ people around the world in terrible places begging for help. Now, I try to refer them to international organizations if I can that might be able to help them, but they just talk. It's impossible for me to be LGBTQ here. It's possible to be gay here. And, some of them would just like to meet someone and get out of there, but it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, for those of us who have achieved some sort of freedom here, one of the points of doing this program is to look at the entire world and what the status of LGBTQ people is. And it's a very, very mixed experience around the world.
Right.
We've come a long way, but we have a very long way to go.
We do.
All right.
The big news in AIDS is a reminder that the Treatment Action Group is honoring my co-host, Ed Northrup, on November 14th at their Research in Action Awards, which can be streamed live by registering at Treatment Action Group, treatmentactiongroup.org. They're also being honored are the co-founders, Laura Morrison, one of the co-founders, and doctors Kelly Dooley of Vanderbilt and Amit Gupta of Johns Hopkins.
Very humbling to be honored, very delightful, and should be a fun evening. If you want to come in person, go to the TAG website and find the event Research in Action Awards under donate or support or something. Love to have you there in person on the 14th, but you can stream it live for free if you want to do that. And I have a few tricks up my sleeve for my 3-minute.
I'm looking forward to it. I love 3-minute speeches.
I'll do my best. I'll talk fast. Also in AIDS news this week, in Pennsylvania, the legislature has passed a law expanding criminalization of people with HIV and COVID and hepatitis, communicable diseases. And it passed in the Republican-controlled legislature by such huge majorities that it is veto-proof.
Now, here's the thing. you know, Pennsylvania is a purple state. I mean, they're almost they're likely to elect another Democratic governor. And we hope also John Fetterman there over the ridiculous Dr. Oz. But when they got control, they redrew their lines so that they couldn't lose and they would have these veto-proof majorities. Gerrymandering, which the Supreme Court upholds if it's done on a partisan basis, you know, which keeps them in power, these right-wing Federalist Society people. You know, and by the way, at the Supreme Court, the two people arguing, you know, against affirmative action were both former clerks of Clarence Thomas. You know, they could give a damn about Asian students who were being discriminated against at Harvard. They're white supremacists.
They are.
Also in AIDS news, relative to MPV, what we called monkeypox, the CDC reports that nearly all of those hospitalized for the infection had weakened immune systems, often because of HIV infection. 82% had HIV infection, and two-thirds of them were Black, and a quarter of them were homeless, pointing to persistent health inequities and the need, by the way, for prompt treatment if you get MPV and have HIV.
There have been the need for vaccination against MPV immediately.
Yes.
People think, whoa, it's not that bad, and the case numbers are falling. But if you have a compromised immune system, get yourself vaccinated.
There have been 28,000 cases in the United States and 76,000 worldwide in the current outbreak in the West. 12 have died, 5 from complications from MPV, 6 under investigation, and 1 unrelated.
Don't mess around with this.
No.
Yeah. All right. So from there to entertainment news.
Where shall we start? So tell us about Brandi Carlile at Madison Square Garden.
Well, as watchers of this show know, I'm a big fan of Brandi Carlile. How could I not be? She's a cute out lesbian. Look at her. But I love her voice. And the last 10 days or so have really been Brandi Carlile week there. It was a fantastic concert at Madison Square Garden. Also, I saw the documentary, The Return of Tanya Tucker with featuring Brandi Carlile, because Brandi is helping her revive her career. And then there was a tribute concert to Loretta Lynn that aired on TV that Brandi did a great number in, and Tanya too. But a couple of hours of Brandi at Madison Square Garden doing her hits and a lot of other stuff. Really, really superb. And the whole thing is available on YouTube, and we're going to link to that in our show notes so you can see all of it. And maybe the most stunning moment was in one of her encores with Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes, who had been the opening act, and she brought her back, and the two of them did James Brown's It's a Man's World, and they just tore the ceiling off Madison Square Garden. It was amazing.
Wow.
So I recommend that. But, you know, she's very open about her wife and her kids and her everything. She's a very normal.
She's a good role model.
And a hell of a singer.
Yes.
And a lovely human being.
So are Sam Smith and Kim Petras. Their song, Unholy, which we will link to in our email if you go to gayusatv.org.
That's quite an eye-opener.
It was last week number one on the Billboard Hot 100, making them the first non-binary and transgender artists, respectively, to rank number one on the singles chart.
And they got there just in time because Taylor Swift has now taken the top 10 spots on the Billboard 100.
Wow.
But this song, Unholy, the music video is hilarious. It's all about a straight married guy who goes down to the dungeon to play and without his wife knowing. And it's a very catchy song and a very catchy music.
When we were at Gay Cable Network, there was a show called In the Dungeon with Slave Dale.
That's true.
All right. Jeopardy is having their Tournament of Champions now. It's underway, including, you know, you're going to see trans Amy Schneider, and joining will be a non-binary contestant, this one, Rowan Ward, who just won the Second Chance tournament last week. Also back will be lesbian Matea Roach and the super champs like Matt the Fearsome, Matt Imodio. Ward was not out when first competing, losing to Imodio, but spent the $1,000 winnings to pay for fees associated with their name change.
Yeah, I like Amy and I like Matea. I'd be delighted to see either one of them go far in this tournament. And in London, there's a show on Tammy Faye written by Elton John and Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters, starring Andrew Rannells and Katie Braben, playing Tammy Faye and Jim Baker.
Yeah, I like James Graham, the writer. He does mostly political stuff that I've liked, and they're presenting her as a gay icon.
Well, it seems to be centered a lot on this episode where she brought a pastor with HIV onto her TV show, and that seems to be a real center of this show. And I think it's doing very well in London. I assume it'll end up here sometime.
Well, it was, you know, it's at the small theater called the Almeida, a wonderful theater there in Islington, which does terrific stuff that generally graduates things to the West End and then finally to the rest of the world.
Now, you're looking forward to something on Hulu tonight.
Well, it's the documentary on the pool boy and the foul wells. It's called God Forbid. There, Giancarlo Granda, there on the right, tells all, this is a documentary, about his tryst with Becky Falwell there in the middle while Jerry Jr. watched. it's called The Sex Scandal That Brought Down a Dynasty. And by the way, there's an implication here that because he knew about this, Falwell and Mike Cohen, Trump's lawyer, knew about this, that's how they got Falwell to endorse Trump and certify him with the evangelical community. So those are the ramifications of it.
Well, let's be clear. We're not against anyone's consensual, unharmful sexual practices, but we do take pleasure in the downfall of hypocrites and liars.
Absolutely.
And moralists. And so that's the outcome of all this. We don't take pleasure in it, no, perhaps having helped elect Donald Trump as president of the United States.
By the way, in Chicago, the Wrightswood 659 Gallery in Lincoln Park has a new exhibit, The First Homosexuals, Global Depictions of a New Identity, 1869 to 1930, curated by Jonathan D. Katz of the University of Pennsylvania with Johnny Willis. 1869 is when the word homosexual was coined. And by the way, there was no word heterosexual before that. That came later. This thing is open Fridays noon to 7 and Saturdays 10 to 5.
Yeah, we talked about this when they first announced they were going to do this a couple of months ago. And I've seen further coverage lately, and it's getting rave reviews. It really sounds like a magnificent exhibit. I hope it's not currently scheduled to travel, I don't think, but I hope it does, because it sounds really, really interesting.
Tell us about Queen of the Deuce.
Well, I just want to finish that thought by saying if you're in Chicago, this is definitely a exhibit to seek out and enjoy. Queen of the Deuce. This is an independent film that is going to play November 11th and 12th at the Doc NYC Documentary Festival. Every year in New York, there is a film festival of documentaries, hundreds of them, and they have a specific grouping and section of LGBTQ films. So checking that out would be a good idea. It's playing, the whole festival is November 9th through 27th. So I had the chance to see this one at a screening the other day, Queen of the Deuce. The Deuce is 42nd Street in New York. That's an old reference to 42nd Street when it was considered less savory.
I liked it better then.
Me too. So this woman was a refugee from Greece and from the Nazis. and Jewish, and she left her kids in Greece with relatives and moved to the escaped to the United States, and through a long series of events, ended up being the empress of porn theaters in Times Square. All those 8th Avenue porn theaters, the Eros, the Adonis, all of those were owned by this Jewish refugee from the Nazis. It's quite wild. And she lived in an apartment above the Eros. And you would go into the theater and then up this long stairway to her apartment. And, you know, the family was all there and having, you know, dinners and whatever, and all very Greek.
And Kip Knoll was downstairs on the screen.
And she was a lesbian. She was married. She had kids, but she was a lesbian. She eventually had female lovers who were all very openly there throughout this. So it's quite a story. And if you're interested in any aspect of this, you may want to check out Queen of the Deuce. It's playing in this film festival on November 11th and 12th here in the Chelsea neighborhood, one day at the SVA Theater, one day at the Chelsea Cineplex. Queen of the Deuce.
Eros is some kind of a restaurant now. Anyway, I'm a big fan of the acting of Gabriel Byrne from Excalibur in 1981 to A Touch of the Poet on Broadway by Eugene O'Neill and in Treatment on TV. But Walking with Ghosts, his one-man show based on his memoir, now on Broadway, is a mostly personal story of growing up poor in Ireland before making it in show business. You know, he's immensely likable, but he never delves too deeply into his revelations, including an awful one when he went into the seminary, the Catholic priesthood seminary, as an 11-year-old. So it left me wanting to know a lot more. But it's, you know, I like him. It's certainly a pleasant enough evening. I just wanted more.
Well, better than wanting less, I guess. And I liked In Treatment. I thought he was very effective in that.
And speaking of Excalibur, Lincoln Center is reviving Camelot with a new book by Aaron Sorkin, of all people.
Oh, my God.
I know. But starring as King Arthur, Andrew Burnap, who won the Tony for The Inheritance, and Philippa Sue of Hamilton fame as Guinevere. It begins previews in March.
And he's playing King Arthur or Lancelot?
No, he's playing King Arthur. I apologize for not having the name of the Lancelot, but he's good looking.
We have a few seconds congratulating Kit Connor, 18 years old, one of the stars of Heartstopper, who has come out as bisexual, although a little begrudgingly.
Well, sort of forced out, and his co-star Joe Locke there on the right is out gay. So anyway, stop watching the show and go out and vote.
Please, immediately. And we'll see you next week with as many results as we can drum up.
On Wednesday.